Tonight to the book of Philippians.
Philippians chapter 3. It's been a while since we've been on our study of being more effective in sharing Christ or the gospel or our faith with other people. But I want to return to it tonight. Philippians chapter 3. Let's go ahead and read just that first verse and ask God's blessing on our study tonight, and then we'll go from there. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, God tells us this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Father, we thank you for your word and just the clarity of the gospel. And Father, we all would desire to be more effective in sharing that same gospel with others. And Father, perhaps even seeing some come to Christ and being born again through our witness. And so, Father, help us tonight in our study to learn just a little bit that we might be a better vessel, more fitted for use in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Some very simple questions. It's been a while since we've been in this study, as I said. And so let me ask you this. When you have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone who you believe is lost, where do you start? Kylie? Okay, she says she starts with her testimony and then tries to lead them through Romans from there. And so where would we begin in Romans? What verse would we start with? Cassie? 3:23, very good. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, why is that important? Something I've been stressing through the whole study. What must we do to start with? We must get them lost. They have to understand that they're not on their way to heaven, and God's eyes are sinners. All right, so we go to Romans 3:23. Now, where do we go from there? Dallas? Okay, that is correct. Very good. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And so they need to understand, first of all, that they're lost. Secondly, what being lost means, and that means eternal death. For the wages of sin is death. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. All right, then where do we go from there? Aaron? Okay, and what does that say? For whosoever shall call upon the name. I was going to read it or quote it as you were reading it. But if you read it, most people won't hear. So, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? Now, the next step. We've covered all those steps. This step I referred to a few times, but we really didn't go into much detail in the last step, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. We call it drawing the net, and we call it that, and I believe I've explained this earlier in one of the studies. We call it that because the Lord tells us that if we'll follow Him, we will become fishers of men. And so it's using that fishing analogy of bringing that fish up to the boat, and if you don't use a hook, and I'm not a fisherman, maybe you're good at it, I'm not. If I'm going to get that fish in the boat and in the frying pan, I'm going to have a net to get him in the boat. And so we use that analogy. How do you share the gospel and then see them get saved? You've got to draw the net. You've got to give them that opportunity. And so we're going to see three steps to drawing the net. And this is important because you don't want to, and we'll talk more about this in a little while, but you don't want to share the gospel and then just wish him a good day and turn around and leave. Now, if that's all you can do, that's fine, but you want to take it to this last step, giving them the opportunity to receive the Lord. Now, we started this evening in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, for a reason, because he tells us in the second half of this verse about repeating the same things. For the one doing the repeating, it's not grievous. In other words, it's not a problem. But for those that it's being repeated to, it's safe. Now, when it comes to sharing the gospel, the first step in drawing the gospel or drawing the net is just simply reviewing the gospel with them once again, making certain that they understand each step of the way. If you remember back on our Veterans Day service, Dr. Vogel did exactly that during the invitation. He said, do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you understand you're a sinner? And they said, yes. He said, do you believe that the wages of sin is death? And they said, yes. He took each step and reviewed it and had them give an assent that they fully understand it. You'd be surprised how many people will get to that point after you've explained it as best as you can, depending on the Holy Spirit of God. You'd be surprised how many people still are clueless, have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. And so you want to review it again, step by step. Ask them if they understand it. Ask them if they have any questions. And then when you're all done reviewing it, ask them again, do you have any questions? Is there anything you don't understand about this? Turn over, if you would, to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And so the first part in drawing the net is reviewing the gospel. Just go over it step by step, having them tell you that they understand that part. As you do so, we need to learn to speak slowly and calmly. Now, it's easy to get excited, and in fact, it's normal to get a little bit excited when you get that to that point with someone, because most people won't let you get that far, but if they'll let you review the gospel, they're going to go ahead and get saved. And so it's easy to get excited, and then we kind of speak fast when we get excited, just like most people when they first talk in front of a group of people, they speak a million miles a minute because of that nervousness. And so we've got to learn to just slow down. And so Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 tell us this. This is Paul's prayer request. Paul says, I still have troubles with that. When he wrote the letter of Colossae, he says, withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now notice his prayer request here in verse number 4 regarding that open door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. In other words, the gospel. He says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. To make it manifest is to make it obvious or open, to make it clear. And so he wanted people to pray for him that he would have that ability, the capability to, as he presents the gospel, do it in such a way that other people understand. Now, the letter to the Colossians is a prison epistle. That means Paul was in the Roman imprisonment. That means that most of his ministry was already behind him. And Paul still had that need to ask people to pray for him for clarity when it came to presenting the gospel. So don't feel ashamed or embarrassed if you get to that point and you have a little difficulty speaking slowly and clearly. Paul had issues with that as well. And so just keep that in mind. And sometimes it's a good idea as you're presenting the gospel to be in an attitude of prayer where you're just subconsciously praying to God, asking for this clarity, asking that God would help them to understand, that the Holy Spirit would reveal Christ and their sin, and Christ as the answer to that sin problem. And so we need to be aware of that and be in prayer about that when it comes to drawing the net as we review the gospel. Now turn back to Mark chapter 4. I want you to see this, because if you get someone to this place of having shared the gospel from beginning to end, you don't want to just walk away, as I said, because, we might do that with the attitude that if God wants them to get saved, or if they really want to get saved, they get saved on their own, and we leave them on their own to do so. But don't ever forget that when you present the gospel, there's somebody else out there on the field battling for that soul. And that's what it tells us here in Mark chapter 4, verse number 15, the parable of the different types of soil. Chapter 4, verse number 15 of Mark says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Now that's the sharing of the gospel. Now notice what happens when the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh a few days later, Is that what your Bible says? Mine doesn't either. Satan cometh a few hours later. No, it doesn't say that either. Satan cometh immediately. You share the gospel. Did you realize there is spiritual warfare taking place that very moment? And so you need to bring this thing to conclusion while the Holy Spirit of God is empowering you and helping you to do so, so that Satan can go down in defeat. Because it tells us, finishing out this verse, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. If they don't get saved while you're there, chances are they are not going to. Now, I've had people that have later on their own in private, trusted Christ. And what I would do in a situation like that is I would leave the gospel track and show them that it tells them exactly how they can be saved. It has a sinner's prayer, and everything they need to do is right in there so that they know they can go back to it, because Satan's going to take that word away as best he can. And so we want to draw this net. We want to review the gospel. Now, the second thing we need to do after we review the gospel is we need to go to select scriptures that shows them that they need to be saved now. All right, turn to 1 John chapter 5. You're asking, well, what are those scriptures? This is one of them. 1 John chapter 5. They're sometimes called net scriptures because they have to do with drawing that net, giving them the opportunity of salvation, bringing them to a place of decision where they are likely to go ahead and make the decision for Christ instead of rejecting him. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Now notice the matter-of-factness of verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so you explain to them that there is no life outside of Christ, and that if they do not receive Christ, they don't have any life. And the only hope for them in eternity is an eternity in the lake of fire with the devil. But if they have Christ, they have that guarantee, that assurance of life. And so show them that scripture. Turn over also to Revelation chapter 3, another verse that's frequently used as a net scripture. Now, there's some debate on using this in this fashion because this is written to the church at Laodicea, and some would say that this is written to a church who had kicked Christ out, and so it's written to saved people. Well, I'm not so sure that these people in the Laodicean church were saved if you look at their description, although then it would be unusual for them to be called a church, and so a lot of discussion on that, but this verse is a tremendous verse. Verse number 20, Jesus speaking says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." And so we show them this verse, have them read it, and then explain that Jesus is at their heart's door, knocking, wanting entrance. And he won't force his way in. He won't slide in secretly, but he'll only come in if they'll invite him. But if they'll invite him in, notice the fellowship with the supping with him. That means to eat, to sup. And for this culture, that was the highest form of fellowship, was to share a meal. And so that's what Jesus is saying. He says, "I will come in and have full fellowship if you'll just let me in." And we explain that to them, how Jesus wants in, but it's their responsibility to allow him in, to invite him in. Now the third net verse is one we've already mentioned tonight, Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. And oftentimes I just go straight to this one because this one sums it up so well. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so this verse shows us how to get it, how to receive Jesus' gift, how to have Christ, as it told us in 1 John chapter 5, "He that hath the Son hath life." Well, how do we get the Son? We just simply ask, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." And I explain, you know, we all understand what the word call is all about because of telephones. We say, if I want to call my wife, I get my phone and I call the phone number and I talk to her. And it's obvious that's a reference to prayer. Most people understand that without any problem. But we also explain that it's not the prayer that saves them, but it's the faith that they have in the finished work of Christ on their behalf. And that faith then prompts them to offer the prayer. Now, I don't believe they're saved until they offer the prayer and actually ask Him into their heart. And that's another point of debate. But nevertheless, God knows when they're saved. And if we lead them to this prayer, there's absolutely no question about their salvation. And so we need to share these net verses after we share the gospel, bring them to a place of decision where they'll either receive Christ or they'll reject Him. Hopefully they'll receive Him. And if they let you review it, chances are they will. Now, the last step we need to take in this, first of all, we need to review the gospel. Secondly, we need to take them to the net scriptures. And then thirdly, we need to just flat out ask Him if He would like to invite Christ into His heart at that very moment. If the Spirit is working in his heart and truly drawing him, he will be saved. And if the Spirit is not drawing him and they say no, or as I've already mentioned, sometimes they'll say, well, I'd like to do this on my own later. Sometimes they say, I'd like to think about it. Keep in mind that, some sow and some water, and it's God who gives the harvest. And so don't try to force a decision. You can do more harm in forcing a decision than if you just allow them to mull it over and leave that door open. Now, Moody tells a story one time where, and this is true, when he was preaching to his congregation, had a large congregation in Chicago, and he preached the gospel. And instead of having an invitation to invite people to come and receive Christ, now they did it a little differently back then. You know, we either have them do it in their seats, leading them in the prayer, or we have them come to the front and have someone show them. They would have a seekers meeting after the service where they would go into a separate room and then the preacher would go and share the gospel with them all as a group, and they would either trust Christ then or reject him. But instead of doing what he would normally do, he just said, I want you to spend the week considering the claims of Christ and of the gospel, and then come back next week and I'll give the same message and invite you to receive Christ. Well, guess what happened in that week that followed? The Chicago fire. His church burned down. He never had the opportunity to speak to that same congregation again. And he made up his mind right then and there that he would never let a person go until he gave them the opportunity to receive Christ, either receive or reject. And we should learn from D.L. Moody, one of the greatest modern-day soul winners this world has ever seen. When you share the gospel, flat out ask them, would you like to receive Christ right now? Bring them to that decision to either receive or reject the Savior. Now, if they want to receive the Savior, like I already addressed, if they don't want to, just leave that door open, stay cordial, stay kind, stay gracious with them, and allow them to make their own decision. Don't say, well, if you don't accept Christ now, you'll burn in hell forever. Don't leave them like that. It's true, but don't leave them like that. Leave the door open. You may have just sowed or you may have just watered. And just leave it there and let God and trust God for the increase. But if they do want to receive Christ, what usually happens is people don't want to pray or form the prayer themselves. Now, it's best if they will. I always ask them and give them that option. But one thing I do want them to do is I want them to pray out loud. I want to hear what they have to say. I remember when I was in Bible college, and remember I'd only been saved not even a year and a half when I went to Bible college. But I'd been saved and was in Bible college for a couple years at that time. But I remember sharing the gospel with a man. He came on and off to the church I was attending, and he wasn't saved. And I shared the gospel, and he was very interested. And I asked him if he wanted to pray, and he said yes. And his prayer wasn't for salvation. His prayer was that his daughter, who was sick, would get healthy. Somewhere along the line, there was a disconnect, and he didn't understand. And so I want to know what they're saying when they pray, because that lets me know if there was that disconnect. And so insist that they pray out loud. And if they have trouble with that, if you're using our church track, it has the prayer in that little, I think, green box. And they just, a lot of times what I'll do is they just pray something like this. And then I emphasize again, it's not the prayer, but it's the faith that's prompting you to pray that will save you. Faith in what Christ did. Now, as far as tracks, we had talked about the Romans Road when we started. I meant to do this at that time. On the track rack right now, there's two different tracks that will help you. One is called the Romans Road to Heaven. The other is called the Romans Map to Heaven. And they both just take verses from the book of Romans. And if you're not quite sure what verses to use, these two tracks will help you out. And so they're on the track rack. And become familiar with some of those verses. But, if they're having trouble deciding how to pray and aren't comfortable with it, it's never wrong to lead them in the prayer in short phrases where you say, "Dear Lord," and they repeat, "Dear Lord," then "I know I'm a sinner," and they'll repeat, "I know I'm a sinner. I believe that my sin is enough to send me to hell," and they repeat that, "but I believe Jesus died," and just go through the sinner's prayer out loud with them and have them repeat it after you. Does God hear prayers like that? Most certainly he does. Most certainly he does. And remember, it's not any key word or code word that we say that a person gets saved on. It's their faith in what Christ has done. And so make them make that decision. If they're willing, then lead them in the prayer if need be, but always pray for them. Usually if they're willing to pray on their own, I'll say a simple prayer for them first so that they're a little more comfortable praying out loud. And just pray that God will help them as they exercise their faith in Christ. It's something along that line. Then after they pray, a lot of times I'll pray after they're done and just thank the Lord for saving them. And then what you do is you extend your hand and say, "Now, if you really meant what you prayed, shake my hand." And then from there, we want to give them some counseling verses. And I'm not going to get into that tonight. I know what time it is. It's actually early, but my tooth is saying I'm done. And so we're just going to finish there tonight and next time look at verses on assurance. This is so important because I talk to so many people and they'll say, "I got saved when I was 5 and I got saved when I was 7 and I got saved when I was 12. Or they'll say, "I got saved at this church and I got saved at that church and I got saved at the other church." Or they'll say, "I got saved 3 times already." How many times does a person have to get saved? When we know the scriptures, we know how silly that is, but I hear that all the time. You'd be surprised how often I hear that. You really would. And so we need to leave them, if we can, if we have time, we need to leave them verses of assurance. And so we'll go over some of those, Lord willing, next time. But let's keep in mind our responsibility as light bearers. God tells us, we're the light of the world. He was when he was here, but now we're to shine his light through us and draw all men unto him. And so let's remember our responsibility and bring people to this place of decision. Father, we thank you for your word and the clarity of salvation. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your gospel with others. Father, we just pray that through our efforts, as humble as they may be, that through these efforts some souls might come to know Christ and that you'd be glorified through our service and through the decisions made as a result. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.